Dante responds, "The massacre and butchery that stained the waters of the Arbia red now cause such laws to issue from our councils." Okay, Dante says, because a lot of Florentines got killed in the Battle of Monteperti, where you were fighting against the majority of Florentines. How's that one? And Farinata's answer is very interesting. He said, yes, but you know, after the Battle of Monteperti, there were those in Siena who wanted to level Florence. And I persuaded them not to. I should be seen as a Florentine hero. Well, of course, there are a couple problems with that. Okay, problem one is the reason he didn't want it leveled is because he wanted to be able to rule it. And ultimately, he sort of persuades Dante the Pilgrim to sort of buy into this a little bit. In other words, sort of he almost gets Dante to concede this, well, you know, you weren't in my party, but I guess you were sort of a great man. In fact, Dante's sort of concluding lines, "And now as I would have your seed find peace," that in some way, not completely, but he talks Dante into buying a little bit of his argument. And I think, therefore, in terms of the political discussion, we're left with kind of a disturbing notion. A, the sort of bitter factionalism, and B, that Dante still is close enough to the dark wood of error that he can't see through all of Farinata's pretensions of greatness and his puffed up chest and his handsome face. He still can't quite see through all of that and has to concede some things to Farinata that probably he shouldn't concede to him.
Another way of looking at it, in other words, is that partisan politics makes you kind of forget about logic. Right? And if you think that one through, Farinata is trying to sell something to Dante, and the curious thing is that Dante buys it. The canto continues in some interesting ways. Dante then says to Farinata, well, listen, do me a favor, tell this other one that his son is still alive. But of course, what we've seen is that the two of them don't recognize each other's existence. He's never going to find out that bit of information because the two of them don't communicate. And so what we see is, whether you want to talk about it on the level of heresy, whether you want to talk about it on the level of partisan politics, whether you want to talk about it on the level of language and poetry, what this is all about is uniting, or rather dividing things that ought to be united, separating things that ought to be together. And it's a very, I think, insightful canto into the nature of what sorts of things devastate a community, what sorts of things tear a community apart.
We're going to move on now deeper into hell, and again, we want to try to sketch the areas we're going to be passing by because, catch the numbers here, we're going to move from Canto 10 that we just talked about to Cantos 26 and 27. So we're skipping now about half the poem. So it's only fair for us to sort of tell you what happens briefly in between. We've been now through six circles, okay? Starting with limbo, and the sixth circle being heresy. So if you remember from our earlier talk, we said there are nine circles in Inferno. Well, we've already been through six, and we're only about a third of the way through the poem. So what happens? Well, the answer is that the next three circles have a lot of subdivisions, although they're subdivided in different ways. First, we move to circle seven, which is the circle of violence. But Dante subdivides, and then he sort of sub-subdivides. We're going to leave that aside for right now. He subdivides those who are violent into three categories, consisting of who you're violent toward. You can be violent toward neighbor. You can be violent toward God. You can be violent toward self. So, for example, we would have murderers among those violent to neighbors. We would have blasphemers, those who are violent toward God. We could have suicides, those who are violent toward self. So we go through a rather complex seventh circle, which includes a variety of sins of the category of violence. And then we move into circles eight and nine, which are the two circles that are concerned with fraud.
By the time we get to fraud, by the way, we are still only about halfway through in terms of number of cantos. The division is 17. Okay, which is exactly halfway through. And what we have are two circles left, seven sort of behind us. Well, once again, many subdivisions. We're dealing with the third, if you will, major category, fraud. And what Dante does is make one big subdivision, what he calls simple versus complex fraud. Simple fraud is fraud. Complex fraud is fraud against somebody with whom you have a special obligation. Okay, so that it is different when you betray kinsmen. It's different when you betray your country. It's different when you betray a leader. It's different when you betray a friend. And it's, in fact, at the very bottom that we see Judas, who betrays Christ.